Film Vault.
Yeah, Film Vault. Thanks for joining us on the Film Vault, and welcome. That's Anderson Cowan. I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Film Vault for our top five foreign actors never nominated for an Oscar. We've done the top five American actors never nominated for an Oscar. Injustices in our eyes. And then we'll talk about those from abroad, those from other countries, not necessarily abroad, from countries outside these borders.
And it's very timely because the Oscars just happened about 2-3 months ago, and they're about... Eight months away
from Oscar season.
It makes sense we'd be talking about this now.
This is when we need to shine a light on this. When nerves have calmed down.
The wife had a rare moment where she asked me what the topic was, which was strange.
What is she getting at?
She has no idea the Film Vault even exists most days. But I told her I had to stay. It was a long story, but she's like, "Oh, really? What's the topic?" And she looked at me and she said, "Wow, that's real boring." I said, "Thanks for the support, honey. Appreciate that." But
I do like having these esoteric topics once in a while.
I kind of agree with her.
What is that? What is that?
In the spirit of this episode, I'm going to have crack a coldie.
You may have spilled a little bit on the
That's all right. It's fine.
I'm glad.
This episode needs a little something, which is maybe me drinking.
I do like doing these more esoteric topics from time to time, ones that aren't so ones that aren't so obvious to people, because I feel like this appeals to the real fans.
Listen, I feel
people
like
who
the
tune
last
in to listen to us wax on about movies and things you don't necessarily think about every day.
Last couple of weeks, Bribery, I feel like I've kind of shit in your Wheaties, as someone put. Someone said
you
that
were not
I did that.
You were not on board last week.
And I don't like to open episodes by saying this is going to be a bad one. So I was thinking, fuck, 3 weeks in a row, man. I'm going to be saying that. It's terrible.
You open almost every episode saying it's
really
going to be bad.
That's fantastic. Way to go, Anderson.
You really kind of do.
Not talking about himself in the third person. Truth be known, I'm not going to lie to you, Brian. I've already had a beer. It was a big one. And this is my second one now. But once I got going, once I did a ton of research, this is your topic, by the way. I like to say that. So,
well, can I explain?
All blame, pass the buck, as it were. But once I got going, not bad. It's going to be a good one. I dug extra deep because I was feeling guilty. I want to give the listeners something to take away.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of treating like this almost like as a coming up, too, because I'm going to be talking about some really interesting movies that are coming up in the not-too-distant future. Some really good actors going to be talked about, some good movies going to be talked about, and like I said, some really interesting projects that they have coming up as well.
Good. I like your attitude.
A lot of good shit's going to be coming out of this episode.
The reason I chose this topic, and from a list of topics that we have to choose from in the future, this one seemed appealing to me.
Strange.
Because
it's very odd.
Well, because odd we had instinct. Done we this is one of the first times we've done a follow up to an episode where we have episodes once in a while where we're like, this is a meaty topic. We're gonna have to do this one again. Or we're gonna have to do a follow up to this one, a companion piece.
Right, bro.
And we were going to do back in the day top five actors never nominated for an Oscar. Mm-hmm. But what happened was we're like, there's so many good actors out there that have never been nominated.
We never did that.
We're gonna break it up. We did the American actors.
Oh, that's right.
And now we're doing the follow-up, finally, the foreign act.
Speaking of meaty topics, Logan and I discussed before you got here, Brian, that it's time for a real good meaty topic, which we will be doing next week.
What are we doing?
Top five crooked cops.
Ooh.
Best bad cop characters in movies. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be awesome.
Can do.
Let's first get to my egregious error of last week.
Okay. A lot of nominees.
In talking about Bowling for Columbine...
Okay.
I discussed.
Yeah, it's
how
pretty bad.
That's not that bad.
Well, considering.
Did you know? Mr.
Heard,
yeah, it's pretty bad.
I had heard this, but I'm not as big a South Park fan as you.
Turns out that the entire movie is pro gun, and I thought that it was against.
Hold on a second. This isn't what I thought you were going to say.
No, it's not what I'm going to say. Okay. What I'm going to say is that Matt Stone, Trey Parker, creators of South Park, are both. No, Matt Stone is in it, all right? I don't want to do a double fuck up here. Anyway,
yes.
Matt Stone, the guy with the big frizzy hair.
Yeah, Trey Parker's the blonde-haired guy, right?
The sidekick. I love them both. Yeah. But Trey Parker is the brains of the operation.
Is that true?
And he was interviewed in it. And right after his interview...
I know the feeling.
They go to the cartoon, which is very South Park-esque. And all these years, I just assumed. I never dug into it. Turns out, those of you... And I'm sure I'm not the only one. Those of you...
Oh, I for sure was suckered in. I for sure thought it was a South Park cartoon.
Those of you who've seen Bowling for
production.
Columbine... the cartoon might be the best part of the entire movie, and not created by the Matt and Trey.
It's only done in their style. It follows immediately their interview.
So
the interview
that's just
Matt Stone.
It kind of supports my my idea that Michael Fatfuck Moore needs to be put down as far as when talking about his films.
Filmmaking.
Yeah, I don't want to suggest he needs to be put down. However. So, I mean, that really goes to show how he likes to manipulate the audience and fool them and make them think one thing when really something else is happening. However, he is credited with creating that cartoon. So, good on you.
Yeah, that's true.
Fucking cartoon.
It's a good little interstitial.
You don't get to trick me.
In another funny coincidence, speaking of last week's episode, tonight at the Corolla show, we did a live show.
What is that? What is it?
And it's a show that I work on.
Cars? About Toyota?
No. Adam talked about the subject of Peter Bogdanovich came up. What a horrible person he was.
Oh, really?
Like teenagers and everything.
Did he talk about it?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he's a horrible person.
Yeah, and I was like, fuck, Anderson just talked about this.
Kidding out there. Well, obviously, he does listen. But I'm just kidding, Peter Bogdani, in case we were to work together anytime soon.
Years old.
You never know.
It'd have to be very soon.
William Friedkin was talking about me the other day.
What?
I'll talk to you about that off air, but it's a true story.
Really?
Not really talking about me, but hearing about me.
People like you?
Yes. Oh. William Friedkin, great director. Yeah, check out Bug.
Director for The Exorcist.
Check out Bug.
He's still working, right?
William Friedkin? He makes very small independent movies.
That's so interesting.
He made The Exorcist. He made French Connection.
Yeah.
And he made Bug, and he also made Killer Joe.
That's right. That's right, Killer Joe, which you liked very much.
Okay, let's get into Flick.
Flick Fashions.
And I got a little extra Flick Fashion for you.
By the way, this is, you know, we don't even realize, but we drop names a lot on this show. It's people we know in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Like Peter Bogdanovich and William Friedkin.
I call him Pete.
Billy Friedkin. Actually, I think people do actually call him Billy Friedkin.
Actually, the person who was talking to Billy Friedkin about me used Billy Friedkin when she sent me a text. She's like, I was talking to Billy.
That's funny.
About you the other day. And then and Billy's quote about me was, the kid gets it.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, he does. Flick fashion time. Time to confess the flicks we've seen in the past week. I got a confession to make. I've got three films to talk about. But in the coming up weeks, I might not hit this three-film limit. I'm finishing a book, as you might know. Finishing a narrative, a book. And it's really eating into my film watching time.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know.
Just lie.
No, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to treat you and I'll treat the audience with respect.
You know what?
Integrity.
I appreciate that, Brian. I appreciate the integrity, and I especially appreciate the less airtime you will have in this Flick Fashion segment. That's going to be fantastic for everyone involved.
I like that.
Especially the listeners.
Well, I'm still going to talk.
Go. Well, you always do whenever I talk. Go.
That's a good point. First movie. I think, I'm pretty sure you saw this. Don't remember what you thought of it from last year. A documentary.
Didn't like it.
Called
Wasn't a fan.
Hiro Dreams of Sushi.
Hiro! Yes.
Hiro. Hiro Dreams of Sushi.
Most expensive sushi restaurant in the world?
Yes. It is a cult restaurant. It can only hold about 6 or 8 people.
15.
Is it 15 total?
I think about a dozen.
It's a very small restaurant. Maybe I'm thinking of the actual sushi bar.
Takes about 15 minutes to eat it.
What do you mean?
That's how long you're allowed to sit there and eat it.
Oh, right, right. Yeah. This isn't like a French Laundry all night kind of thing.
Right.
This is a Japanese sushi restaurant, and a man named Hiro, that's how they pronounce his name. He pronounces his name. Hiro, or Hiro.
H-I-R-O, go.
J-I-R-O.
That's right.
But Hiro.
Egregious error of the week coming early.
You don't say the R, you kind of roll it over like a Hiro.
Jiro. You know? I think I called it Jiro.
I think everyone calls it Jiro, but it's Hiro.
Okay.
Hiro Dreams of Sushi, directed by David Gelb.
Domo.
This is recommended by several people, was not nominated for an Oscar. 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. In my opinion, good, not that good. Is not 99% good. Certainly enjoyable. Certainly interesting.
Very slow.
Very slow. I have that written down here.
Literally. I'm sorry. I'm stepping all over you, but
you
literally slow motion.
You're trampling.
You're trampling. Literally slow motion throughout much of the movie.
The elephant. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is moving very deliberately. I will say, very deliberately slicing toro and other fatty tunas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you introduced me to sushi.
Oh, well.
I think it was the first time eating sushi was with you.
Wow.
At that theater complex we used to go to.
This makes me uncomfortable.
Why?
It sounds like you're admitting to the first time you ever got fellatio or something. I don't know why.
That also in a coincidence. No. yes.
It is uncomfortable.
I think my favorite thing about this was the family dynamic. The sort of, his 50-year-old son who's still working for him.
50-year-old.
Yeah, 50-year-old son is still working for him. Will someday perhaps take over the business. Perhaps not. But, okay, not great.
Here's what
good,
I said
fine,
about it. I believe I have
above
a
average.
I have a a review of it up on AndersonCowan.com.
Oh.
And if you love sushi, such as you and
I do,
we're going to appreciate it more than the person who's not a big sushi fan.
I think you're right.
If you're not a big sushi fan, I think you would have appreciated this more in like a 15, 22 minute, 60 minutes piece.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's really interesting.
This is a tough stretch out over whatever it is, 80 minutes or something.
One of the most expensive restaurants in the world, and it's actually in a subway state. I mean, you would expect to see a fast food restaurant in its space.
It's very unassuming.
Very unassuming, and you got to appreciate his attention to detail.
Yeah, he goes to the fishmonger and like picks out his fish and blah, blah, blah.
So it's streaming on Funflix, I believe, so yep. Check that out if you're a big sushi fan. You missed it. I doubt you have.
Doubt you have. I saw a movie that Anderson assigned me.
Oh, what?
Gumbo!
Are you doing the order?
Order of what?
What you like most? Least to most?
No, this is probably, you know what this is? This is best to least. This is what I like best, what I like the least.
So you liked something less than Gummo last week?
Significantly less than
Really?
Gummo. Yeah, you're going to hear about it. My rage may bubble over.
Oh, okay. First of all,
yeah.
Let's all settle back and hear what little Bri thinks of Gummo.
Gummo was upsetting. No. Gummo was, what the fuck is there to say about Gummo? Gummo, 1997. Written and directed by Harmony Korine from Spring Breakers fame, writer of Kids. This is starring Chloe Sevigny, Harmony Korine, and a bunch of other people you never heard of. Anderson, please, if you can.
Casper. You know the kid that played Casper? Oh, wait, that was Kids. Can. Sorry. See, I'm drinking.
Describe the plot of this movie.
It is a slice of life.
Plot.
Slice of life. There is none. It's documentary style. It just follows the children of a very small town in Ohio. And it's the whitest of the trashiest white. One of the most disturbing images I've ever seen in my life is from this Gummo, and it's not the bathtub scene, which everyone talks about. It's when the kid takes the picture off the wall, and we see the colony of bugs that's living behind that
picture.
And that picture was, God, up there for how long, and those bugs were shielding themselves from the incandescent lighting for how many months. And that was like a real, this movie is a hybrid. It is part documentary in the sense that like, they didn't stage that. They didn't put bugs behind a picture and say, hey, little kid, go take the picture off the wall. Like, this is real shit.
I was left wondering many times what the casting must have been like and how many of these people are actors or aspiring actors.
Well, you recognize some of them, right?
The
kid who's selling his Down syndrome sister and then watching it and pinching his nipple as he pleasures himself watching her be
violent,
taken advantage of, made love to. That's his name is Max, I believe. He was an actor that I used to really like. He kind of disappeared. Might be dead. I don't know. I like that guy a lot though. He's in Maverick.
Here's the plot. We meet a series of grotesque characters, each more disturbing
misguided
than
children.
The last.
Misguided children.
Each more disturbing than the last.
Mm-hmm.
That's the plot. That's all you need to know. Something involving killing cats for a living.
Something
professional
involved.
Cat killers.
Yeah, the guy was, he'd sell the carcasses to the Chinese restaurant. It was a joke.
It wasn't a Chinese restaurant. The guy was black.
No, the kid that was putting the glass in the cat
food. Oh, that kid. About the other two
I'm going
kids.
Off memory. It's been like 10 years since I've seen this thing.
It's a tough movie. Yeah, Anderson's
Sticks
right. It's like a white trash version of Beasts of the Southern Wild meets a less funny version of Napoleon Dynamite.
You shouldn't even say Beasts of the Southern Wild because that movie's about like you know rising up against and it's heartwarming and it's a picture about I just said picture. It's a movie about like the human spirit. It's a picture.
Yeah.
It's a very important picture.
It's a talkie.
It really is a movie about you know the goodness in humanity. This one is really exploiting all the worst things about.
But were
youth.
These
much
were
like
actors.
Spring Breakers?
These
much
were
like,
actors. These were
some were, and I'm sure that he pulled a bunch off the streets, just like kids.
Why the arm wrestling scene? That felt like filler. You probably don't remember.
Don't
it was
remember.
A long time ago. Felt like filler. I would rather have seen Trash Humpers, honestly, because at least I probably would have laughed.
No,
not funny.
I mean, you'll get the chance to watch Trash Humpers as we continue down this road called the Film Vault.
You realize I've never made you watch a movie that I
you consider, made me watch G.I. fucking Joe!
Which I liked. I've never made you watch a movie that I really didn't like, aside from Southland Tales, but I feel like you had to see that.
Liked Gummo, and I continue to say that, and it's a movie that will... You know what? I look for movies that live with me forever, Brian. I look for friends that live in my head. Gummo's a friend.
There's very few shirts
not
in this
not a good
movie.
Friend. I don't
There's
like
very
Gummo.
Few shirts in this movie.
He's a friend.
Not a lot of shirts being worn mm-hmm. in this film. Yes, the bathtub scene is one of the least appetizing scenes I've ever seen that involves food. The majority of the budget was probably spent on music. There was actually some like very recognizable famous songs in this movie, which could not have been cheap. I guess my question is, who is this movie for?
Marilyn Manson had a private screening that the producer of Loveline, her name's Ann Ingold, I'm dropping names here, she went to see it back when it came out in 97, and she walked out.
At his house?
He had a private screening, rented a little theater. He loved the movie so much.
Wow.
And she walked out, and apparently Mr. Manson was not pleased because it was a very select few people that were invited to see it. And she got up and she,
I'm leaving. Not a movie for me. Who's this movie for?
Marilyn Manson, obviously.
Yes, Marilyn Manson.
And his friends. And me.
But
I'm glad this movie exists.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Really?
I've seen it a couple times. I'm not saying I love it, but I mean, where else are you going to see anything like that? Not all art has to be beautiful.
It's a good point. I did say once that I do appreciate any movie that shows me something I've never seen before. And I guess I have to extend that to ugly things or
yes,
things that aren't.
Exactly. So what the fuck did you like about G.I. Joe? I had seen all of that except for the mountain climbing.
I only like movies that show me things I haven't seen before.
Logie, have you seen The Gummo?
No, I failed to watch it like I said I was going to.
Yeah, you're a failure. Hey, did you push record?
You're not missing much.
Shit.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
However.
Kind of hoping we could start.
Anderson.
Yeah.
There was a movie I saw.
Oh, no. This is the one that you really
hate.
That
I liked significantly less than
you watched it on your own.
Yeah.
This is one of those lapses in your better judgment where you're like,
No. Fans of The Carolla Show will recognize this because I talked about it. I do a weekly film segment on there now.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, I've been meaning to ask you this for the last 2-3 weeks ever since I saw that that fantastic film, G.I. Joe. You go on there and talk about G.I. Joe and say it was good on that podcast.
That's right. Say I enjoyed it.
But at least he doesn't plug this podcast when he does that.
Yeah, please don't. I mean,
Plug the After Disaster, though. Once.
Weeks past, I've asked you, like, you know, you should probably, you know, let people know that the film ball exists. But if you're doing things like that, don't.
Okay. Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, don't.
Okay, well.
I hope that people stumble across it by mistake, like through another route. Because if it's through your route.
I gotcha. Then it'll make the connection way later. Like, oh, she's the same guy, Brian from The Gorilla Shows, Brian from Film Ball. There is a movie way worse than Gummo. And I hope you never stumble across it. I don't know why you would, honestly. This movie's called 42. It's from 2013. It's in theaters now.
I almost saw this.
Easily one of the 3 or 4 worst films I've ever seen.
Okay, here's what I gathered just from the little bit that I know about it. It looks like it's all pretty fluff. All pretty pictures.
It's not, yes, yeah.
I think it seems to me, like now, obviously from the trailer, it would lead me to believe this, but do they use modern day music?
No, actually, okay, that's good. One thing they didn't do, but
So mainly your hatred comes from being a racist.
That has actually nothing to do with it. I think the film was actually very racist because it... Okay. The real Jackie Robinson, he had a very distinct manner of speaking. He had a high voice, a high-pitched voice. Everyone knew it. People talked about it. He was on many talk shows because he was a star of the 50s. So he was on like Ed Sullivan and stuff. He had a high-pitched voice. Jackie Robinson had a very distinct speaking voice. Jackie Robinson in this fucking movie speaks like Batman. It's a gravelly low voice. I'm Jackie Robinson. I'm Jackie Robinson. I'm going to play in the major leagues. It's like, who the fuck? It's like, you may not think it's a big deal, but it's like casting like a super in shape guy to play Babe Ruth or a super tall guy to play Napoleon. That's fucked up. Like, you can't take history and change it like that unless you're making a movie for stupid people. People who aren't going to care about that. People who aren't either going to know or want to look it up. You may not know, but you may be interested in learning more about Jackie Robinson. You're going to go and you're going to look him up and you're going to be like, wait a minute, this is not the Jackie Robinson they portrayed in the film. Mm-hmm. So what I don't appreciate the taking history and kind of twisting it.
Go beyond the voice. Because the voice, I want to notice that. Because, you know, it turns out I don't watch a bunch of interviews with Jackie Robinson.
Here's the first thing you see in the movie, Anderson. Mm-hmm. The first thing, I was willing to give this movie a pass. I was willing to give this movie a chance because, and by the way, this is a good feature top five. There have been movies that I've expected to be bad, and I've been pleasantly surprised. Top five pleasant surprises. Limitless is a recent example of a movie that I was like, this is going to suck balls.
Don't say that.
It ended up being okay. Mm-hmm. So I went into this movie thinking, yeah, you know what? It's getting good reviews. I'm on board with giving it a chance. First thing on the screen, Anderson, based on a true story.
Yeah, it is.
Who the fuck? Who's that for? Who needs to know this is based on a true story?
The broads that you bring on a date.
No.
I understand what you're saying. Of course, that's ridiculous.
It's not always ridiculous. It shows contempt by the filmmakers for their audience. They're like, we have a bunch of stupid people we're attracting to this film. We need to make this as dumbed down as possible. Jackie Robinson? No one knows he was a real person.
I think also maybe using that little phrase there, based on a true story, holds a lot of water. And whenever they're allowed to, whenever they can, actually.
But the people are already in the theater. You've already got them. You already got their money. But you're not attracting anybody.
I think there's some psychology behind seeing those words and thinking, all right, this is more important than it really is. You know,
oh, just the words, not the information, right. Just the physical work. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And you know what? You could honestly say, inspired by true events, and that's true of anything.
Almost anything.
Anything, because without true events, nothing would be inspired.
It wouldn't be, yeah. Someone
there's no inspiration
to you,
that comes from anything without actual events occurring. So you can put those. In fact, that's how I open my script. It is. And it couldn't be further from the truth of anything. But it's inspired by
true
events.
Oh, my God, the opening day crowd. Oh, the fucking opening day crowd.
I'm looking forward to watching this.
Please, you know what? You should be thankful we live in Los Angeles because you'll be surrounded by a bunch of guilty white people. Mm-hmm. Unless you go to a theater in Inglewood or something like that.
A 7.8.
It's fucking terrible. If you go to,
I want to be able to hear the movie, so I'm not going to go see it in Inglewood.
If you go to a theater with a bunch of, that's a good point, with a bunch of guilty white people, there's a lot of N-words thrown around this movie. Liberally. Liberally thrown around.
One of my movies I'm getting to.
And everyone, the audience, at least early on, was, oh no, oh no, oh no, 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 no. Loudly. Oh no, 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 no.
I hate those people so much.
So bad. So awful.
God, I hate those people.
So awful.
It's just terrible.
Sitting next to me is awful. So you know a little bit of baseball. You know what a rundown is when a player is caught between third
pickle,
base. They're in a pickle.
Yeah.
Jackie Robinson gets caught in a pickle midway through the movie.
Are they yelling racial?
No. Worse.
Epithets.
The audience is in fucking hysterics. Hysterics.
Why? How?
Laughing.
What?
I don't know why. I don't know why they're.
What's funny about
this
it?
This is my moment of you're like, why are they dancing? This is me. Why are they laughing?
Why are they dancing?
I don't know.
Just
why are,
friends reference.
I don't know why they're. I don't know why they're dancing or laughing.
That's odd.
It's so upsetting. It was.
I hate bad audiences. I really do. That sounds like a terrible one.
It was terrible.
Was there a goofy, funky music? Like, oh.
No, there was no. The music was of the huh?
That's it's very dramatic whenever I get a text, Brian.
Oh, that's you.
That's my new sound.
No, don't do that.
Very dramatic.
Yeah, I'm looking here for anything remotely redeeming. Even poor Alan Tudyk, who I like very much. Steve the Pirate from Dodgeball, great character actor. He's reduced to the most one-dimensional racist character. Really, all he does, his character, he's the manager of the Phillies.
He just yells.
All he does is stand on the top of the dugout and yell at Jackie Robinson. His entire character is screaming
racial
epithets.
That'd be a fun character to play, yeah?
It's not even fun,
Listen,
though.
This is the same guy that directed A Knight's Tale.
Well, Brian Helgeland, the fun fact about him, he's one of only three people in history to win a Razzie and an Oscar in the same year.
What did he
win?
He wrote
The Postman, and he wrote L.A. Confidential, both in 1997. That's range,
one of,
man.
One of many writers.
That's fucking range.
For L.A. Confidential, one of many writers.
No, he wrote the movie.
A strong black filmmaker should be making this. I don't want to sound like I'm racist and saying that, but I feel like a strong black filmmaker should have been making this.
I can see that. Let's see. What else did he do? He's done good movies. He did Mystic River.
All right.
He wrote Man on Fire.
He wrote Mystic River.
But he also wrote Assassins and The Postman.
Here we go.
And, so he's up and down career.
The point is,
those are my three movies. 42, please avoid at all fucking costs. It is a goddamn nightmare. Mm-hmm. Anderson?
It's a shame, too. It is a shame. Because it's not the kind of movie they're going to reboot. You know what I mean? They're not going to reboot 42.
And there's not really a movie you can make a sequel about. Because the rest of his career, I mean, he was a Hall of Famer, but he didn't really have a dramatic career after that.
I, too, have a warning about a new movie that is out that you may think, this could be good. It is Trance. It's directed by Danny Boyle. It's his latest movie. Trance. And it stars James McAvoy, Vincent Cassel, and Rosario Dawson. Mm-hmm. And this movie's ungood. Avoid. Movie's way too clever for its own good. Huge motivational problems, such as I am not motivated to care about any fucking character that's going on. It's like a poor man's Inception. I think that's what it was kind of going for.
Okay. Looks like a mind bender from the trailer.
Well-made movie. Obviously, Danny Boyle, Academy Award winner, a very well-respected director, even though when I went to see Werner Herzog speak... Somebody asked him about Danny Boyle, and Werner said, I have never heard of her. Oh, I love that, Werner. But this movie, some good things to look at. It's all about dreams and not dreams. It's all about hypnosis. And one good thing, if you're a Rosario Dawson fan, you see, no, beyond nips.
Oh.
You see full. If you've ever wondered what her vagina looks like, you see everything.
Wow.
The point of it being shaved is part of the plot. Horrible. Awful. Mr. Skin. I was just thinking Mr. Skin must be so excited about this scene. It kind of catches you off guard, too, because she's in the bathroom and you hear like the buzzing. And I'm like, hey, what is she doing in there? Because I know it sounds like an electric razor, but obviously it's not. Then she comes out and that's what it was.
Oh.
She was in there. But Danny Boyle, and I've been saying this for a while now, he has this weird style where it's like goofy and then horrific. And usually I like that.
Yeah.
But it's not good. Like his choices, of music, and I really started seeing it with the beach when he did that horrible
video game sequence.
Oh, it's so uncomfortable.
It's so good.
And he's got some really goofy things here, and then he's got just some really horrific like CGI images of like heads half gone and stuff.
Trainspotting was kind of like that. There's a lot of grotesque images and then a lot of very funny stuff.
But it's like the kind of grotesque where it's you can almost feel the filmmaker or makers like watching the audience going, watch them react to this part. Oh, they're going to really be taken out of their skins with this part. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't come organically. I'm not, I like Danny Boyle as a person. I would love to drink a beer with him. I don't like his movies. I really don't like them.
He's got a lot of range, though, if you think about it. I mean, Slumdog Millionaire was a really middle-of-the-road, safe movie. Good movie, fun movie. But then there's like Sunshine and Trainspotting and movies that are a little bit, I wouldn't call out there, but
I think
not
the first
on
two
the edge
thirds,
of mainstream.
Yeah, he's definitely prolific.
He is prolific. He's prolific.
He makes
too,
lots,
right, bro?
Lots of movies. And, you know, this one just felt
127
forced.
127 hours.
This one doesn't feel like it should have been.
Shallow Grave. I'm just going to
I like Shallow Grave a lot. And the first two thirds of Sunshine. But, I mean, even at the time, I didn't like, and I still don't like that Trainspotting. I just don't.
I wish someone would remake Sunshine with a different ending, with a different third act. That just came. The thing that happened kind of came out of nowhere and just took us out of it.
Trance. Neg. It was very predictable, even though it wasn't supposed to be. And I don't usually predict movies, but I was like, that's the only way it could go, right? And then it went there. I was like, fuck me. It's all about a guy that he works at an auction house for a museum for very expensive art. And there's a robbery that takes place. And he gets hit in the head during the robbery. And he's the only one that knows where the painting is because he's the one who was transporting it, trying to save the painting at the time. And then it's all about the guys that were robbing him trying to get that memory from his lost memory. Make sense?
Yes.
And then he goes to see Rosario Dawson, who is a hypnotist.
There you go.
Yeah.
With a shaved bush.
Yeah, and with a shaved crotch, yes. Then I saw a little movie by John Borowski, who does movies for Spook Show Entertainment. And as soon as I began this movie, I'm like, I know this style. I know this guy. I know what I'm watching. It's a documentary about maybe the first American serial killer ever named Carl Panzram.
Okay.
Or one of the first. One of the very earliest.
Has he directed other movies that you know?
Carl Panzram, The Spirit of Hatred and Vengeance, or The Spirit of Hatred and Revenge. He also made Albert Fish in Sin, He Found Salvation, as well as H.H. Holmes, America's First Serial Killer.
Wow.
Which would be America's First Serial Killer, I guess. Not
Carl
Panzram. But if you got a little hankering
What's this one called?
This one's called Carl Panzram. Who is a fantastic,
is the name of the guy?
Colorful character. Yeah, all of his movies are the same. All of John Borowski's movies are the same. Carl Panzram, The Spirit of Hatred and Revenge. Albert Fish in Sin, He Found Salvation.
Yeah,
and then H.H. Holmes, America's First Serial Killer. H.H. Holmes, America's First Serial Killer. H.H. Holmes is a character that I read. The White City is the name of the book. Really good book.
Okay.
It's half like a history, half about H.H. Holmes. H.H. Holmes, bad person. He was like our Jack the Ripper.
Ooh.
Brian. But anyways, this guy, John Borowski, he makes these good little documentaries about horrible serial killers and people from our past. And they're all the same. They're all kind of corny, but good. You know what I mean? Really funny voiceover, but I don't think it's supposed to be funny, but I laugh. Because of some of the things like Albert Fish said in his. Albert Fish, in Sin, He Found Salvation, that used to be available on Netflix Instant, but it's now not even available on DVD. I don't know why.
So this is about a serial killer.
Yes, about Carl Panzram. Panzram.
What era does this take place?
Turn of the century, like 1910, okay. 1915. And this guy, what was his quote? So they found they actually keep his manifesto or his journal at San Diego State University. So they read lots from that, and they interview the prison guard that actually knew Carl Panzram. They have actual excerpts from interviews from the prison guard who encouraged Carl Panzram to write his journal. But his main thing was, I got a motto in life. Every single person I meet, rape them, rob them, murder them. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Wow.
But it's
ambitious.
It's a very
single person.
Interesting character. Carl Panzram.
I'll say.
All right. So that's available on Instant if you'd like to check that out.
Third film. Is this the one you
like
the best?
Here's the one that I like the best. This one is a feel-good little cute, inspired by true events, Brian.
Oh,
much like 42.
Much like everything else in the world.
Movie called The Sapphires. I don't know if you've seen a trailer for this.
The Sapphires is.
It is starring Chris O'Dowd. Plays Dave Lovelace. You know Chris O'Dowd.
Oh, is he the
Irish? From Bridesmaids.
Yeah, the cop.
He was also in Friends with Kids, which I liked last year, as well as This is 40. He's the cop. Yeah, he's the cop that talks funny. Yep. He is Canadian.
That cop talks funny.
In real life, he's Irish. Yep. He was born in Ireland. But he carries this movie very well. You know, like you can see like really funny characters, like funny character actors, funny comedian actors. And you're like, I wonder if he could carry a movie. Chris O'Dowd proved to me in The Sapphires, which is in limited release right now. I don't think it's going to go huge because it is a foreign film. It's an Australian movie, I should tell you. It's all about Aborigines, based on a true story, like I said, back in the late 60s, who wanted to get out of their Aboriginal little town and become singers and sing like black music and go to Vietnam and do it. So it's a Vietnamese, it's a Vietnam War movie at times. It's definitely a music movie. It's got great, really fun characters. It's a character-driven movie, and all four of the girls that are in The Sapphires, all of them, the casting is great. Like, they're all unknowns, but they're all really great actresses and really good people, and you enjoy them, you're rooting for them. Not a perfect movie. By no means is it a perfect movie, but for what's out there right now, and if you're hard up and you want to see a movie, you want to see something good in theaters, and this is playing at your theater, well, hopefully it'll spread a little bit more. The Sapphires, it's definitely a feel-good movie. It left me wanting something more, especially with some of the really bad CGI. Maybe they just didn't have the budget for it, but, you know, they have some war scenes, and even before like the blatant war scenes, just like tanks driving down like little roads. The tank's not there. It's a cartoon tank. Mm-hmm. It's like, why? Why wouldn't you just like maybe not show the tank? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe show it.
There's creative ways around that.
Yeah. That was somewhat distracting. And the movie, the first 30 minutes.
Did you see a finished cut? Did you see loaning you one that wasn't done?
No. I saw it in the theater.
Oh.
And so here's some of the names of the actresses. Deborah Mailman. That's her real name. Deborah Mailman.
Wow.
She plays Gail. Jessica Mowboy. She plays Julie. And Cherie Sebbins plays Kay, as well as Miranda Tapsell, plays Cynthia. And one of the real-life girls that this is about, one of the real-life Sapphires, her son is one of the co-writers of this movie.
How about that?
So I like it for nothing more than Chris O'Dowd is great. I mean, that was the best thing I saw about this movie. Actually, all of them are great, like I said. But check it out. Feel-good movie. It's the kind of movie you would like, Brian. Kind of movie you would really
like. This may be a movie I see.
Felt like I should have cried a couple times. Didn't. I could tell they wanted me to.
Oh.
And, you know, it's predictable. I knew it was coming. Like I said, by no means a perfect movie, but very enjoyable.
Hmm.
Very enjoyable. Made me happy. Made me feel warm inside.
How about that?
Yeah. Let's go.
Coming up next.
Sapphires. By far the best movie I saw last week.
I think
week.
I liked Hiro Dreams of Sushi the best. But even that wasn't that great. So don't rush out to see it.
You know what?
What?
Random fact. I don't know why I'm throwing it in. Wait. Holy shit. Fuck. A lot of bad language coming out. I'm going
to
blame the drinking. Last week and the week before, we've been talking a lot about this little movie called Spring Breakers.
Yeah, we have.
Spring Break Forever.
Oh, I meant to say something about that, too.
The twins in it that I asked about.
Yes.
The Atlanta twins.
The ones that kind of go away.
Yeah, I don't think they have one single line. They're almost like mute in the movie. I think that was actually almost mentioned
they're menacing.
Kind of stand. Turns out obviously they're real life twins, but turns out they look pretty much exactly like that. Listener sent me some information that Vice Magazine, which I've talked about in the past. I love Vice Magazine some. They're a documentary style TV show that they had for a while ago. I talked about it on this year program, Brian. You can watch it on Netflix, I believe. Fuckflix. Okay. But they do some really interesting stuff. I guess their MTV2 version of those shows were awful, and I've seen cuts of those. But the actual Vice documentaries, Vice Magazine, Vice TV, check it out. It's some really good stuff. But they did a 30-minute documentary done in three parts on the Atlanta twins.
Wow.
The ATL twins.
Three parts?
And yeah, so it's like each one's 10 minutes. And these guys...
Anyway.
Here's a little bit about them. They only date the same girl. And they don't each have their own girlfriend. When they date, it's always one girl. They DP her. They do like to do that.
Wow.
They're awful, horrible thugs. Incredibly articulate. Like, ridiculously smart, but uneducated. However, they have really good paying jobs. I'm not sure I buy this end part of it. Really good paying jobs where they're They're paralegals. And it shows them getting older, taking their grills out and getting all like dressed in suits and stuff and going off to work. Hmm. It's really fucking interesting, though. It might be the best thing I saw last week, even though it was only 30 minutes. But the Atlanta Twins, you can't look away.
How about that? Speaking of Spring Breakers, thank you to everyone who let me know who the judge was. Remember, I was freaking out last week. Who the fuck is this judge? I recognize him. Turns out it is John McClane. That is his name. He's not an actor, spelled differently than the movie character John McClane from Die Hard. Mm-hmm. He is a sports reporter from Houston. I recognized him instantly from many NFL Network specials. And so I was like, oh, that's exactly who it is. That's why I couldn't find him, because I kept typing in John McClane actor minus Die Hard, and nothing came up. It's John McClane, the football reporter. That's exactly who he is. Thank you, everyone, for solving that mystery. I appreciate it.
The Atlanta Twins. Apparently, there's like a
that's what they're known. The Atlanta. There's no other twins in Atlanta.
There was a one of them's name is one of them's name Sydney, and the other one's Thurman Suell. Why do they have, you know? Hey, y'all, we'll call this one Sydney Thurman Suell. Really difficult to understand what that second one's name is.
Top five porn actors never nominated.
Porn actors
for an Oscar. I know you're someone special. I thought my chest up and straightened my hair, hoping you'll have a nerve to stop and stare. The hallways are silent. The hallways are silent. Oh, Anderson.
Yeah.
Oh, it's almost summertime.
The beach balls are being bought.
Beach balls are being bought. People buying summertime supplies. Weather's warming up, and someone purchased through Amazon link on AndersonandBrian.com a Weber Performer Platinum Charcoal Grill.
Why wouldn't they?
It's one of those high-end pieces of shit.
You gotta have a grill.
A sweet Weber
summertime.
Grill. That's right.
I didn't have a grill
until stock up on your summer supplies.
2 years ago, I finally got a grill, and it's like, oh, this is summer.
Did you steal it from your parents?
No, I stole it from my friends.
Okay. I heard after disaster where you stole a grill.
Oh, that's my newest one. Oh, okay. 2 years ago.
Sorry, buddy. Other stuff that people bought on Amazon that might be of interest or note. Someone got some Art of Shaving pre-shave oil. I use that shit myself.
Doesn't look like it. Looks like you're part of some noir film from the 50s.
Some white gold earrings. They're very nice earrings. Someone got some white gold earrings. A 60 Durex condoms variety pack. And I said variety pack because there's an exclamation point right here, Anderson. For some reason, they decided to advertise
read it that way.
With an exclamation point. I don't know what this is. Someone got a lower back strip electrode. Someone's electroding their back.
Yeah, lower strip.
Someone got a Vizio 60-inch television. It's a very large television.
It is. It's, you
know
how
big?
Got
a very large television.
60 inches.
Yeah. What is this? Oh, yeah, of course, double chocolate astronaut ice cream. Oh, but someone stepped it up and actually got the Mission Pack space food sampler with astronaut ice cream and space food sticks. Space sticks.
What? Sticks?
Space sticks.
Send us some. I want to try some of
them. Someone
that.
Got some high-quality headphones for their studio equipment. What is this here? Oh, an LG Blu-ray player, a Roku player,
Roku.
An Apple TV. I got the hiccups all of a sudden. A couple copies of Not Taco Bell material out now this week on paperback. What is this here? A complete roof rack system for the truck or car vehicle. Complete roof rack system. That was not a cheap item, so thank you. Uh-huh. Appreciate it. Movie posters. Big Lebowski movie poster.
Oh my God, you're a mess.
Sorry, movie poster. Big Lebowski movie poster. Skyfall movie poster. Indiana Jones movie poster. Return of the Jedi movie. There's a run of movie posters. For some reason. Return of the Jedi movie poster. Oh, a couple of people bought H&R Block at Home Edition.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, they were waiting the last minute to do taxes, obviously.
That's our listeners.
This is, last week.
Yeah. I did my wife's hope the day before. She was shocked to find out she owes money.
Hope you file for an
and
extension.
Angry.
Yeah, she must have been angry. Someone got a bass. That is not a cheap item, so thanks for clicking through.
A bass? Like for a bass?
A Fender bass.
Oh, an
actual real one.
Yeah, slap that shit.
Someone got a Garmin to find their way around town.
You want a smartphone? What's wrong with you?
That's right. And someone got a Kindle 6-inch Kindle. So enjoy reading books. Anderson, what kind of movies are people buying?
You know, I had a Garmin and I actually turned it on in the airplane.
How'd that
go? So it said that on my high speed was 652 miles an hour. And a cop pulled
said,
me
slow
over.
Down.
A cop pulled me over to in Wyoming and said, hey, I can show you something because he saw it on the dash. I can show you how fast you're going. You know, because it'll have your top speed.
Wow.
He was so confused and concerned when he saw the 652 miles an hour. It was awesome. Oh, the reckoning. I'm like, yeah, it's a piece of shit. It doesn't mean anything. It's kind of like your radar gun there,
wow.
Sir.
Wow.
Here we go. Here are the movies.
Movies. What are people buying?
Somebody bought Les Mis, which, you know what? I can't blame you. It's stuck in my head, goddammit. Eight separate people bought Room 237.
Whoa.
Watch while it's in theaters. It's still available. And you know what? It is a very good movie.
You can rent it on Amazon?
Yeah, you can rent it.
Holy shit.
You can rent it while in theaters. Right, right. That's how I watched it, buddy. I told you. I saw it in the theater. Then I went home and I rented it and watched it twice more. Pulp Fiction. Somebody bought that. Somebody bought Senna. Smart. You know what? Senna and Room 237, both very similar because none of them, neither one of those movies shot a single frame of original picture.
All borrowed. Well, they didn't know they interviewed people, I thought.
No. Yeah, but it's all voiceover. It's all VO.
Okay.
All right. We're talking about Room 237. Smoking Aces. Somebody bought that. You know what? I got a lot of shit for liking that movie. I did enjoy it. Hit the spot.
It was fun.
You made me watch it. So I Married an Axe Murderer. Sunshine. First two thirds. Great. That Thing You Do. Tom Hanks. Extended cut. Oh, no.
Heard bad things.
You can watch the, watch the other.
Yeah.
The Sandlot. Simpsons. 13th season. The Tree of Life.
Oh, no.
I stand behind that. Zero Dark 30. I can see Zombieland. Somebody about Badlands. Smart. Terrence Malick making a run this week. Citizen Kane. Django Unchained. Dog Day Afternoon. Hell to the Yes. We need to figure out a category where Dog Day Afternoon can make it in there. Maybe top five gay characters. What are we doing that, Brad? Oh, God damn it. I just gave away that movie. Dread. 3D. Drive, Flight, and Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yeah.
What a strong week.
There you go. Thanks for clicking through, you guys, for all of your movie needs and otherwise on Amazon. We appreciate it. Now, back to the show.
652 miles an hour.
So fast. Hi, I'm Ralph Macchio. And this here is the Film Vault on AndersonandBrien.com. Yeah. Welcome back. And thank you, all of you, for listening. And thank you also to Tyler Scruggs. He's our feature artist this week. He's from L.A. He has a new album, Concerned. It's out now. TylerScruggs.bandcamp.com or AndersonandBrien.com if you want to know how to spell Scruggs or you don't remember the name. You're like, hey, I like that song this week. What the
how
hell
do you spell
is
it?
Scruggs.
Not to be douche fuck and bring up my script twice in an episode. I'll probably bring it up later. That's the name of one of my main characters.
Scruggs.
Yeah.
Wow.
Weird. Hey, listen to this. Important news. Breaking news. Young Husker. At Young Husker.
Oh, he's back on board?
He accepted my apology and says that he'll buy me a drink next time I'm in Omaha.
He's back on. He downloaded the
show. And
I'm like,
again. Omaha? I thought you were from Nebraska. And then I had to look it up and it turns out Omaha's in Nebraska.
Turns out.
I'm not too smart.
Dark Days, Anderson. Speaking of Film Vault fans.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Days. Well, the last episode got a lot of comments on our AndersonandBrien.com comment section. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you one comment that wasn't there.
What?
Chet.
Oh, Chet. With the Obamas.
No,
America.
Nothing. No Chet comment this week. And by the way, number one, I appreciate that shows that no one's impersonating Chet because no one stepped in and made believe they were him. I don't want anyone stepping in and making believe they're Chet. I only want Chet to post if that's possible. But Dark Days, man.
Borrow a phrase from you, Brian. This is very inside baseball.
No,
I feel like we need to move forward.
Oh,
I feel like we need to keep moving. You know what I mean?
I'm not ready for this hope and change.
You're doing even further inside baseball now. Let's talk about some good foreign actors.
Yeah.
That deserve to have a little microscopic information put out there.
Consider Canadians?
I didn't want to be a dick, so no.
I didn't want to.
I did.
Then I did.
I did go with some Mexicans, though.
So. Oh, mm-hmm. they're foreign at this point.
Is that weird that whenever I say some Mexicans, like it's I feel like shit. Am I gonna sound racist if I say
no? If they're from Mexico,
the word like the other day I was listening to something. It was like a race or something, and this lady kept saying the Mexicans are really coming up from behind. They're gonna win. The Mexicans might, and it's just every time she says the Mexicans, it's like oh fuck. You know
what world do Mexicans win races?
Sorry,
that was racist.
Oh, it was a car race.
Oh, anyway,
getaway cars.
Oh, that's a good... Wow. Oh, I thought it couldn't be topped. Oh, that was excellent. Okay, top five actors. Some from Mexico. Never nominated for an Oscar. I did consider Canadians, but none made my list. That's right.
Good, Brian, move.
Yeah.
Thank you for not doing that, because that'd be stupid.
What? Of Canadians?
Canadians just a giant 51st state. Right.
Ooh, we just lost us all our Canadian listeners.
Hey, I'm half Canadian. I can say that. My mom's still got a green card. I still go up there all the time.
Really?
Dual citizenship. Half Canadian.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, my dad's whole family's from Canada. Where's your family from?
We've gone through this, and I've become outraged because I realized that we have kind of similar
Vancouver area
origins.
Yeah, British Columbia.
family of origins. Yeah. I don't like that. I don't like commonalities between you and I.
Number five for me. What if we have crossover?
I doubt
it's going to be
the
worst for you.
I really doubt we do.
Really?
I think this is an episode where I'm going to learn some things from you, I hope.
Maybe, because I'm certainly probably going to learn some things from you, because you messaged me earlier in the week. You're like, what if there's actors no one's heard of? I'm like, yeah. Everyone's definitely heard of my five actors.
Okay, I'm going to have some that haven't been
heard
of.
Well, I'm excited for that because I don't know.
The
ones I didn't think of.
Goddamn foreigners, man. But, you know, Americans don't like them.
Number five for me. No Mexicans, by the way.
What?
Number five
Ryan,
for me.
You're so racist.
I know.
Go.
Number five for me. Oh, you know I'm a fan of his, Anderson.
Hmm.
Eric Bana.
Oh, you
Eric
know what?
Bana from
also
Australia.
Ran. He's on my also.
Oh,
ran.
Eric Bana. Unclear, Anderson, why Chopper was ignored here in the U.S. Maybe it was so international. It was a very Australian movie about an Australian sort of semi-celebrity. Maybe it's just a celebrity.
It was a very Australian movie.
Australian.
It was an Australian movie about a huge Australian name. And also Eric Bana had no name at all over here at this point.
I think it was close to his – it was his debut. He was a TV star, maybe mentioned before.
The Castle was
– Oh, his sort of
– Was what –
That was like a miniseries, right?
No. The Castle's a movie and
I'm thinking of The Kingdom. I'm sorry.
It's a comedy. And actually, Eric Bana, a huge comedian over
in – Huge comedic star. He's sort of almost like Jim Carrey over there in Australia, at least back when he was on TV. Anyway, either way, an Oscar-worthy performance that won several Australian awards. That is Chopper, a movie that Anderson made me watch before poker night one night. Whoever my plays in made me watch Chopper.
Such a good movie.
It was a good movie. Mm-hmm. The next thing you know, he was the Hulk. So maybe critics kind of soured on him quickly, stopped taking him so seriously. Like, here's this new guy who's come on the scene quite quickly. And next thing you know, he's a comic book hero. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. I'm speculating. Either way, Oscar-worthy performances, in my opinion, in Black Hawk Down and Munich could have got some buzz going there. But not nonetheless, he is a Oscar-less actor, Oscar-nominated-less Oscar.
See what I'm saying?
What am I even saying?
He was solid in Hannah.
Eric Bana. He was solid in Hannah.
And you know what? He was the best part and the funniest part of Grown Ups.
Of Grown Ups. No. Yeah. You're no. Funny People.
Yeah. Same thing.
Eric Bana, number five for me.
Grown Ups and Funny People, is that the two different movies? Or
I did
is it
not
the same
see
movie?
Grown Ups. Grown Ups, very,
movie
very
with
different
names.
No, Grown Ups is a Happy Madison, shittiness.
I'm joking. I'm making a bad joke.
Funny People was actually had some moments.
My number five, Brian.
Eric Bana. Love that.
Top foreign actors never nominated. Also for an Academy Award. Also, this is kind of like I'm gambling. I'm suggesting that these people are most worthy and most likely to get a nomination in the upcoming years.
Oh, okay.
All right. So I'm not going with any dead people. I'm not going with any really extra old people. Okay. Most all my people are born. In fact, 1977 seems to be
Ooh,
a common thread.
In
not
the
in this case. But Logie, I'm going to need your assistance here if you could hit number five. All right.
I should say
I'm really bad at names, especially foreign names, out of respect for the actor.
How about you just play the clip and I guess who it is?
There's
like
no
that.
Clips.
I like this game.
There's no clips.
Shit.
It's just the name being said by Stephen Hawking like a computer. Go ahead there, Logie.
Vincent Cassel.
Mm-hmm.
What?
You can do it again.
Vincent Cassel.
We're talking about Vincent Cassel.
Oh, I said Bianca Silk.
Vincent Cassel.
Say play it again.
Vincent Cassel.
That's Bianca Silk. That's a fucking X-Man right there.
Play it again.
Vincent Cassel.
It's not
anything. Bianca Silk.
No. It is Vincent Cassel, who is a French man.
Yes, Vincent Cassel.
Who I actually mentioned already earlier on this episode because he is in Trance. He is one of the main thieves in Trance.
Very recognizable character actor, right?
Yeah, you'd know him if you saw him. If you don't know his name, here's some movies he's in. Black Swan, he was the coach.
He was the director.
Teacher, the director, yes.
Of the performance, the ballerina.
Probably his biggest
ballet.
American role that he's had. He was also in Ocean's 12. He played Francois.
Oh shit! He was 12.
Francois Trulor. Okay. I need the name. I need the Stephen Hawking there helping me out again. He was the voice of Monsieur Hood in Shrek from 2001. Shrek.
Okay.
And a movie that I've brought up numerous times on this here program is Hate. That's where I first saw him. That's where
Lane.
Most people first saw him because he was not around really before that. 2000. I don't even know the year of that. 1995, I think. Lahane. And also, of course, he's the main star of Irreversible. So, Vincent Cassel, he's getting more and more American roles. I did not look into his future as much as I would have liked. I will do that with some of the other actors coming up. But
is he a young guy? Is he 77? Born in 77?
He is not one of the ones in 77.
I was going to say, seems like he's older.
He's probably born somewhere in the 60s. Okay, but he's a good character. I don't know if this guy's ever going to be up for an Academy Award. He is. He's got the chops. He's a very good actor.
Yeah, he's very good.
But
he has that French thing kind of going for him, which lends some weight.
Oh, he's French.
That's what I'm saying. He has that French thing going for him.
More than just a French thing.
Okay.
He is French.
He has this French thing where he's from France.
Yeah. So of my five that I'll be talking about here today, he is the least likely, I think, to get an Academy Award nomination. Yeah. I won't be shocked if he does not.
Even still, he could.
The next four, I really think, will one day be up for an Academy Award. And then you'll be able to say, I used to listen to this podcast with that guy, and he said this, and I'm like, I knew that.
Besanka Silk.
Yeah.
Besanka Silk?
Vinny C.
Number four for me.
Not to be confused with Vinny G.
Man, I wish I would have put all my through a fucking voice recorder now, through a voice programming synthesizing system.
Don't worry, it runs out after three. Okay.
God damn it. Oh, really? Okay. Number four. On many lists, if you look up this topic online, and I happen to agree with those lists, Alan Rickman. Alan Rickman has never been nominated for an Oscar.
Oh!
Broke through in America with an iconic role. He was Hans Gruber in Die Hard. He was one of the all-time great. This came up on several, I think, the listeners' list. This may have been number one of movie villains. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't number one, it was definitely in the top five. But Alan Rickman came out of nowhere and with an iconic movie role in Die Hard. Won a BAFTA, a British Oscar, essentially, for Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. He was very, very good as the Sheriff of Nottingham in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. He also had award-nominated roles in movies I have not seen, like Truly, Madly, Deeply, and Sense and Sensibility, and Michael Collins. Also in Dogma.
Closetland.
I did not see Closetland. Oh. Dogma, Love Actually, and of course, the Harry Potter films. I was actually surprised he didn't get nominated for the Harry Potter movies. I thought that was the final one.
Kidding.
I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be kind of like a Lord of the Rings thing, where it was like a career, you know, an accumulation of love for the series. Didn't quite happen that way.
I think the Academy feels much as I do that he was wrongfully stolen, much like Vincent D'Onofrio was by CSI or whatever Law and fucking Order, or whatever TV show.
Alan Rickman?
Stolen by those goddamn shows.
I mean,
those
Alan movies. Rickman on? Oh, the movie.
No, you're missing my point. Vincent D'Onofrio was stolen
much
by
like
the small
Vincent
set.
D'Onofrio.
Much like, I feel like the Academy should be furious and not be giving any kind of awards. Because how many great Alan Rickman roles would we have seen?
Robbed of.
Because he was tied up with that 9-part or 8-part or 7-part Sleepy Hollow fuck. What's it called? Hollow Gallows?
Deathly Hollows?
Oh. I mean, I'd see like it would be like the final chapter, part one. I'm like, oh my God, part one of the final?
I'm hot and cold on the Harry Potter movies. I liked them to an extent, but it got to be a little much after a while. I never really delved into the world like some people did. That said, I thought Alan Rickman was one of the better parts of the series. He made it enjoyable.
Galaxy Quest, I loved him in that, as well as that wine movie. What was that?
Bottle Shock. Yeah, he was good in that. You're right, I didn't write it down, but he was very, very good in Bottle Shock.
Bottle Shock was so distracting with Christopher Pine's bad wig.
Yeah, he was the 70s, though. He had to wear a wig.
Okay, number four for me. Oh, Logs, you going to go ahead and hit number four there for me.
Audrey Tautou.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Audrey Tautou.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little crossover here?
No, but this is from fucking the movie I just saw.
Audrey Tautou. Everyone knows her. Everyone should know her from Amelie, 2001's Amelie.
This is going to be a good episode for listeners. We're talking about movies you don't talk about a lot.
I love Amelie. I've talked about that quite a bit.
I just saw it. You assigned it to me.
I feel like, you know, yes, the role calls for a younger woman, a girl in her late teens.
Oh, she was perfect.
Yeah. But what I was going to say is, you know, here all these years later, if it was written a little more different, and a woman of her age that she is now. If what I'm saying is, if Amelie came out today, I think she wins. She's up for an Academy Award. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, it would be a movie about a mentally retarded person, because all she has is like daydream fantasies.
We don't say retarded.
Oh, mentally disabled.
Delayed works.
Oh, mentally delayed.
It's ironic that I stuttered that.
No, she'd be quirky like Zooey Deschanel.
Yeah,
they'd portray her as quirky.
Yeah,
they could make an American version of this of the Zooey Deschanel.
Anyways, she was also in The Da Vinci Code, A Very Long Engagement.
Never saw.
By the same director as Amelie.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Not nearly as good. Very dull. Dirty Pretty Things, which I did not like, but I loved her in Dirty Pretty Things. And she's got a lead role in a Michael Gondry film coming out later this year called Mood Indigo, Brian.
Mm.
Mood Indigo. It's about a woman who suffers from an unusual illness caused by a flower growing in her lungs. Interesting. But she will be starring Audrey Tautou.
Tautou.
She's just one of the cutest, sweetest.
She's adorable.
And she's a very good actress. I mean, she's very convincing, and I like her very much. Hmm. And, you know, I could see her going on, hopefully continuing on along her career. And I could see her being up for an Academy Award one day.
Did you see The Da Vinci Code?
Why would I do that?
I was going to say, I saw it and I remember almost nothing from it. Yeah. I don't remember her.
That's like Trance. Trance, like I forgot the movie as it was going on. Yeah. It's one of the few movies where like I cannot remember what happened 30 minutes ago while I was still sitting in the theater.
Would you do that top five someday? Because I think it'd be interesting. No. Top five movies you've seen that you remember almost nothing from.
No. How would I remember what to put on the list?
But you know you've seen it. Like I do that a lot when I come across a
that
movie.
That would be
and
one
like,
of the worst episodes.
Movie, but, yeah,
five was. Movies we've seen but we don't remember shit about.
Yeah,
let's
I guess
talk
it
about
it. Yeah. But I thought it was interesting. There are movies that I come across from time to time. I was like, holy shit, I've seen this movie, but I remember almost nothing from it.
I'm ashamed and regretfully admit that we hit that number four for
me. Audrey Tautou.
Is the only female on my actress on my list here.
I have no females. I know, I'm sorry. Audrey Tautou is a very very worthy inclusion.
Audrey However, Tautou.
Sorry to step on that. However, coming up next for me is Ty.
Oh,
you gotta have the
bonus time. Bonus actress, yeah. Number three for me,
and one of them is very feminine.
Number three for me. Oh man, should I do it in the voice, in the Stephen Hawking voice?
No, you don't have to do
okay.
that.
Okay, the voice might call him. No, what? It's his real name is Alfred Molina.
Never heard of him.
Alfred Molina.
He's a spider guy, right? He's in Spider-Man.
He is in Spider-Man too. I'll get to that in a second. Did you know, Anderson, Alfred Molina's film debut was all the way back in 1981, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Wow.
That was his first film.
What was he? Did he play some angry foreign guy?
He played a snake. Since then...
Did he really play a snake?
No, he didn't play a snake. Since then...
Why did I believe you for a second? What's wrong with me?
It's my delivery. Since then, he's had great roles, small parts, and some big, in Boogie Nights, more of a cameo, but highly memorable. Chocolat. He was the best part of Chocolat, in my opinion. you see Chocolat?
I didn't understand the appeal. I saw it.
He was the like, uptight. Okay. You know who he was, right? The uptight sort of
boat owner,
prudish.
Yeah.
No, he was the town whatever mayor.
And he was very prim and proper.
Yes, he was very uptight.
Like he did not like that the likes of that Johnny Depp coming into town and trying to sex up the
place. Didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
He also was in An Education and Frida, both of which earned him BAFTA award nominations, so the British Oscars. Once
which
again.
Is baffling.
Why? You didn't like...
Okay, I just want to say that because of BAFTA.
Oh, there you go. He was also in the aforementioned Spider-Man 2. And let me just say this about Spider-Man 2. Had Heath Ledger not raised the bar so high just 4 years later as the Joker, I truly believe Alfred Molina as Dr. Octopus would be in the conversation for best comic book movie villain of all time.
That is sad. That's just sad.
No, it's not sad.
I remember at the time people were freaking out.
He was so good.
I recall.
Really?
Yeah, people at the time were freaking out.
He was very good. Still, I do believe it could have and should have earned him a Best Supporting Actor nomination for that year. He actually brought some pathos to the role. You felt bad and sad for his situation. He was certainly better, in my opinion, than Clive Owen in Closer and Alan Alda in The Aviator, both of which nominated for Best Supporting Actor that year. Not a great year for Best Supporting Actor category. In my opinion, Alfred Molina robbed in the category that year. I still believe his time will come. Alfred Molina, number three for me. Spider-Man 2.
I apologize, guys, but we're going to go back in time for a moment here, and I'm going to talk a little bit about Alan Rickman. This is very interesting. Yeah. Alan Rickman and his next movie that is wrapped and it will be released in October of this year.
Alan Rickman.
Is called The Butler.
Okay.
And Alan Rickman will be playing...
The Butler.
Ronald Reagan.
Shit. Whoa!
Yeah.
Really?
Melissa Leo.
That is a stretch. I've never heard him do an American accent. Die Hard.
We'll be playing Mammy Eisenhower.
It was Bill Clay.
And John Cusack will be playing Richard Nixon.
Whoa, what the hell?
And just when you thought it was crazy, wait till you hear this one. Robin Williams will be Dwight Eisenhower.
There is this about like someone who worked at the White House for like 15
years? Called Butler, a look at the life of Eugene Allen, who served 8 presidents as the White House head butler from 52 to 86.
Who plays Eugene Allen?
Some black guy.
Oh, yeah. It's not funny.
That's true.
It's not funny, though.
Wait, Liev Schreiber will be
Lyndon, the black man?
Lyndon B. Johnson.
Oh, that's kind of
Cuba Gooding Jr. It's going to be Carter Wilson.
Barack Obama?
Oh. Yeah. Wait, I can't find the Eugene. Who's Eugene? Hold on. Let me, wait, Forrest Whitaker's in here.
He's Barack Obama.
No. Barack Obama doesn't make it. I don't know who
like Forrest fucking Whitaker.
I think Forrest Whitaker
made it. Forrest Whitaker played Barack Obama.
It's a very odd poster. The movie's so, not when in the limelight yet. October 18th, 2013.
Well, that poster's not for real.
But it's Oprah. Oprah Winfrey is on the poster. I don't even think
she plays Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm. Minka Kelly plays Jackie Kennedy. Okay, we're off.
Who is number
one? Ooh, Jane Fonda plays Nancy Reagan. Jesus Christ almighty.
I can see that.
All right.
All right, number three for you, buddy.
I'm sorry. All right, number three for me. After all that, and then I got to do this, which is a tie. These two guys have always reminded me of each other, and I'm sure that I'm not the only one. They're both born in Mexico, as they like to say. Both born in 1979.
Wow.
And both came to my attention in one movie called Y Tu Mamá También.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Hit It, Logan, number three.
Gael Garcia Bernal.
Whoa.
And number two.
Diego Luna.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, this is not the same transcription.
I hired a few people.
Diego Luna and Gael Garcia Bernal.
Diego Luna and we hit three again for
Gael Garcia Bernal.
That's a tough one for me. Bernal.
Gael Garcia Bernal.
But these two guys, in real life, best friends.
Really?
From all accounts that I read. I've never hung out and drunk with them, so I cannot attest to that personally. However, I have read plenty of accounts and articles suggesting as such. Some different backgrounds. I think that either one of them, if not both of them, will one day get the recognition that they most likely deserve and will get. They're heavily into to their art form, which is making movies and acting in them. The pair have created their own film company and the first traveling documentary film festival that Mexico has ever seen, called the Ambulante Festival.
Wow.
Okay, Diego Luna, he's the more feminine of
the
two.
He's sort of more of a breakout star, right? He's been in a lot more mainstream movies.
Diego Luna? I don't know. Here's listen to the credits, all right? So we saw them both in Y Tu Mamá También. They were two of the threesome. Two of the threesome.
The only two guys.
The two dudes, yeah.
The two dudes in the movie.
The dos of the menage a trois.
It's a road trip movie, and it's the two
with
dudes.
With some menage a trois.
Yeah, there's some twists.
And a little bit of a... Okay, we won't go there. Because that would give stuff away.
Sure.
They're also both in Casa de Mi Padre, which no one saw.
That's the Will Ferrell
movie. With the subtitles, which was hilarious.
You saw it?
No.
Oh.
Diego Luna was in Before Night Falls way back in the day.
Okay.
He was also one of the many boyfriends of Harvey Milk, Sean Penn's character, in Milk.
Okay.
If you remember that.
I do remember that, actually.
He's also played Alejandro Alex in Frida. And he played Michael Jackson in Mr. Lonely, Harmony Korine film. Which you may or may not see one day. I might just get on the Harmony Korine list and have you watch them all. Yeah, but he played Michael Jackson, which is interesting because his buddy, will you hit number three for me?
Gael Garcia Bernal.
Played Elvis in a movie called The King, which I need to see. God damn it. Fuckflix says I'm going to like it a lot. I've been meaning to watch that one for quite
some
time.
She knows.
He plays a guy named Elvis. It's not actually Elvis, but sure. He plays. And then also Diego Luna, who is the more feminine of the other two. He's going to be in the upcoming Elysium. He plays Julio in Elysium.
Was that on your list of most anticipated summer
films?
Yeah.
Number two. Right. All right. And then to go over, will you hit number three for me, Lux?
Gael Garcia Bernal.
Yeah, he started off, he was born in Jalisco, Mexico, and he started off as a soap opera actor. Brian, as I'm sure everyone can't wait to hear more about.
Telenovelas.
He was in Teresa. He played Peluche. And he was also in El Abuelo y Yo. he made his real mark in 2000's Amores Perros, which I
love dogs.
Just saw not too long ago and loved. Flick Fest about 6 months ago on the show. They call it the Mexican Pulp Fiction. It's fucking really good.
Okay.
Enjoy that movie quite a bit. He was also in Casa de Mi Padre.
Maybe you should
send
that to me someday.
Maybe I will not.
Okay.
He was in Babel. He was in The Science of Sleep with Michael Gondry directed.
Should I see Babel?
The Science of Sleep. You should not see Babel. Babel's... 10 kinds of depressing and boring. He was in Bad Education, Motorcycle Diaries, where he played Che
Guevara.
The King, which I already talked about, as well as last year's No, I should say, which was up for Best Foreign Language Film, which I kind of panned here. Now, I wasn't a huge fan of it. It was more gimmicky than anything else, but a true story, but it didn't need like how they shot it on that camera that was hard to look at on the big screen. Anyways, all that being said, relax, Anderson. The reason why I don't know if Logan will hit number three.
Gael Garcia Bernal.
Is going to be up for an Academy Award anytime soon is because his next movie is Zorro Reborn.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. He's not starring in it.
I mean, that's like kind of pretty much the only thing he's got going for him.
That's a big movie. Yeah.
Since we're focusing so heavily on pronunciation, I thought I should point out that it's Michel Gondry, not Michael Gondry.
You can suck it.
Wow.
I feel like that's the one point in the show where I can not sound
I'm
pretentious.
American?
feel like that's
because
a
we're, we're pronouncing the name
American, and I will call him Michael.
Helpful bit of information right there. You told Logan to suck it.
Gael Garcia Bernal.
Michel.
Logan has a drop.
Michel Gondry. I
worked with Jean-Michel Cousteau, and I always called him John Michael. He did not like me for that reason. Hey, J. Michael.
J. Mike.
All right, so, yeah. Anyways, those two guys, I like both of them very much.
Coming up next.
They're foreign actors, and they deserve their due.
Yeah, they do.
You know who I'm talking about, right? You know both of them.
Yeah, of course. I saw them. I saw Ethan Potemian, and I've seen Diego Luna in several things since.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite sure about number three.
Petals.
No. Gael Garcia Bernal.
Number three, what is it?
Gael Garcia Bernal.
That's him. Coming up next, the top two foreign actors never nominated for an Oscar. 17 and realized I wasn't you anymore.
Music, Brian, music. What?
Yeah.
It's what brings us all together.
Attention, music heads. Is that what they call them?
No, Brian, don't do that. Sure. No. Hey, guys, you know what? If you're not on a label yet, hey, come get some exposure with us.
Yeah, we'd love to have you or your band or your solo act be a part of our...
Maybe it's a rap group,
be a part of our little podcast here.
Perhaps it's a rap group.
Perhaps it is. That'd be awesome to have a little rap group. But send along your songs, your info to Logan. What is it? Contact TFE?
There's a button right on AndersonandBryan.com.
It says
featured artist.
AndersonandBryan.com. And you know what? You get on our show, and honestly, it gets into a lot of ear holes.
It does. People listen to it, and dozens of people. Hear this every week.
And you got to send it through Logan, though. A lot of you guys tweet me and you beg me to get your band on here, and it's got to go through Logan. I don't know what his criteria is. I'm not kidding here.
He's pretty discerning.
Logan, what are you looking for?
I'm pretty open to everything as long as it's not too out there and weird and works with the bumper. I very rarely say no to somebody.
Come on in, guys.
Yeah, welcome back. Thank you again, Tyler Scruggs, for being our featured artist this week. LA's own Tyler Scruggs. Check him out now, AndersonandBryan.com or TylerScruggs.bandcamp.com. New album, Concerns, out now. Tyler Scruggs.
Uh-huh.
T. Scruggs.
T. Scruggs.
T. Scrizzle.
Go, Barbara.
Number two for me. Quite a fan, number two. Always excited to see him in a film.
Michael Biehn outside of the country?
He's from fucking heaven. Is that a foreign,
you
is that a foreign
down.
Country?
My number two is kind of from heaven, I'm going to be honest.
Always excited to see Hugo Weaving in a film. Not nominated for anything
why
he's ever
screaming?
Been in. I don't know why I'd emphasize that fact. But nominated for acting awards for several films I have not seen. He's an Australian actor. He's been nominated. Anderson, you seen any of these?
I have no idea who Hugo Weaving.
Agent Smith from Matrix movies.
Oh, that dude.
Mr.
Anderson.
Mr. Anderson.
Ah, Christ.
He's great.
That's the bane of my existence. About 9 out of 10 people I meet. Mr.
Really?
Anderson.
They do that?
Oh, yeah.
I've never done that to
awful.
You. Have you seen any of these films? He's an Australian actor. He's been nominated for Australian awards in Proof, The Interview, Little Fish,
ooh.
Last Ride.
Oh, Last Ride.
Oranges and Sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
And Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Seen Priscilla.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
The other ones, not so much.
Not so much.
Been nominated for acting awards for all of those, but he was so fucking great in The Matrix. And I think only in retrospect do we realize how fucking great he was as Agent Smith. I feel it was dismissed as just an action movie at the time. But in my opinion...
Brian, honestly, you tune in to Channel 7 or whatever it is, the Oscars are on. They're going over the best actors.
Best supporting actors.
Mr. Smith shows up on your TV and you're not like, that's fucking weird.
I can see Hugo Weaving in that category.
Really?
Absolutely.
For that role.
For that fucking role. I 100% believe that.
Mm-hmm.
It's an iconic role, but as we've discussed many times in the show, in 1999, when The Matrix came out, a particularly great year for movies, so maybe he got swept up and The Matrix got cast aside for some other great movies.
All 3 years.
Other worthy roles, in my opinion, V for Vendetta, although it was essentially a voiceover role. You never actually saw his face. And, of course, the Lord of the Rings trilogy, which won dozens of Oscars, but none, no, not even a nomination for Hugo Weaving.
He's the father of Liv.
Yeah, he's
Tyler,
an elf.
Right?
He's an elfin.
His hair's distracting.
Yeah, he had a otospeak.
He did. Very, very intense.
Very pronounced. Hugo Weaving, number two. Goddamn, that guy needs an Oscar nomination.
Number two for me here. It's embarrassing when I bring him up because I can't help myself. I always have to talk about my It's an odd man crush. I don't want him to enter me by any means. I would like
you would be upset if he did.
I would like his giant man hooks to keep me safe. You know what I mean? If I was a woman, I would like to be in the embrace of Tom Hardy.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna be honest with you.
Oh, good call.
I would like Tom Hardy, born 1977 in Hammersmith, London, England. It's the United Kingdom, right?
He could keep you safe at night.
He started on a television program I like to call Band of Brothers, Brian.
You like to call it that?
Back in 2001.
You like to call it that?
Just 12 short years ago. No one knows him or his meat hooks. Yep. Of course, now everyone knows him as Bane.
Yeah.
Bane. He was also in, hold on, I got more about what's coming up.
Do you feel like you're in charge?
I was hoping we'd
everyone
get
does a
this.
Bane, right? Everyone does a Bane?
I do not.
I mean, everyone, okay.
Hold on real quick. No. He was in Black Hawk Down.
He was in Black Hawk Down.
He played Twombly. Layer Cake, Matthew Vaughn movie. Yep. He was in Sucker Punch.
This Means War.
He played Handsome Bob.
He was in Sucker Punch?
Aptly named Handsome Bob in Rock and Rolla.
He was in Inception.
Guy Ritchie movie.
Inception.
He was Inception, yes. He works with a lot of great directors here.
He's in Warrior, which is very
Tinker
good.
Tinker Tailor, name. Soldier Spy, Warrior, which he was the only really good thing in Warrior. Warrior was bad, cheesy Disney, but he was very
Warrior
good.
Warrior wasn't
in it.
Bad at all.
Christ.
I wouldn't say it was great, but it was definitely
even
good.
Even Logan's giving you a weird look.
No, I like Warrior.
Yeah, wow, you can both. Really?
And I don't like it felt UFC, like Miracle. MMA type things at all, and I liked Warrior a lot.
That's it. Keep going.
I enjoyed it because of him. I loved him, and God, he was so dark and mysterious.
Yeah, dark, tall, and handsome.
But I think the movie, and like once again, much like with Amelie, with we play number four.
Oh, he was in. Yeah, that's right.
Audrey Tautou. If Bronson comes out today, now after him being Bane and everyone knowing him, Bronson comes out right now, and God damn it, I wish it was still streamed on Fuckflix.
This is a great choice. I wish I would have thought of this.
Check out Bronson if you haven't, especially if you're a Tom Hardy fan. I would think that he would definitely be looked at, or it would be one of those where if he didn't get a nomination for Bronson, everyone would be like, how the hell did he not get nominated?
Snub. Directed by Refn, right? Nicholas Winding Refn?
Yes.
And you maybe watch it. You have me flick fess it.
I may have.
Pretty sure you did.
The problem that I had with Bronson, and I've said it a number of times on the show, maybe the greatest trailer I've ever seen of any,
really?
Any movie.
Wow.
And it ruined it because I was so excited, and I watched the trailer probably 15, 20 times. And then I went to see it, and the movie didn't stand up to the trailer at all. But I don't watch trailers. I try not to watch trailers now, much because of things like that. But here's some interesting things.
God damn, that's a great choice. I wish I would have thought of that.
Tom Hardy, in the near future, coming this year, next year, we got him as playing the title role in Mad Max Fury Road.
Do you feel like
he is playing Mad Max, Brian. We've talked about this on the show. Directed by the George Miller, who directed the originals.
First Mad Max.
So it's going to be fantastic.
Is Mel going to make a cameo, you think?
Well, I doubt it.
I don't doubt it.
He's in a Doug Liman movie called Everest, where he plays a real-life guy that climbs Everest, apparently.
Doug Liman makes mostly good movies.
Yeah, you haven't seen much of that lately. He plays George Mallory, who climbs Everest. And perhaps the most interesting movie coming up, God damn it, this is next year as well. This is in post-production right now. I can't believe it's going to take till 2014, but a movie called Locke, Brian. Locke.
Mm.
And this is a movie directed by Stephen Knight, who wrote Dirty Pretty Things, which I talked about earlier. And Eastern Promises. His name's Stephen Knight. He's also directed a couple movies, nothing that you've heard of. But he's directing this Locke, starring Tom Hardy as Locke. And here's the cool part. 90-minute meltdown, or this guy's in danger, 90-minute real-time single-take movie.
Wow.
And it's going to be a big-time single-take movie with a big-time actor. Now, I've been talking about single-take movies. I was going on and on a couple weeks ago about PVC1.
Yeah.
And which apparently is a short wait right now on Fuckflix.
Because of you.
Could be because there's only one disc.
Could be.
Yeah. But this one's going... I'm trying to watch this Russian Ark, which is also a single-take, which is... More, I don't want to say more ambitious than PVC1, but goddamn, it's dull. Ugh, and it's pretentious. Halfway through it, I don't know if I can finish it, guys. I'm telling the truth. I don't know if I can. I might put it back in the envelope and send it away.
Wow.
Russian Ark.
That happens sometimes.
But Locke.
It makes it into the DVD player.
Locke, starring Mr. Tom Hardy.
T-Hard.
In a single take 90-minute movie. Very excited.
Good choice, Anderson. I wish I would have thought of that. That's how you know that an idea is good. You wish you had it yourself. It's true.
What's my number one going to be, though?
I don't know. That would have been my number two, probably. Number one for me. I'll stand by it. It is really baffling to me, and almost it's baffling that he's only been nominated for two Golden Globes, let alone zero Oscars. But Ewan McGregor has had quite the career, and there comes another drink. Quite a career, and nothing to show for it in terms of hardware. Nothing to show in terms of Oscar hardware.
He's got like BAFTAs.
He might. Shot out of the gates. Well, Shallow Grave is already shot out of the gates. Yeah. Shallow Grave, fantastic. Also, Trainspotting, Moulin Rouge, Black Hawk Down, Big Fish, which I'm a big fan of, Down with Love. I love you, Philip Morris. Not even a Golden Globe win. Like I said, nominated twice, one for Moulin Rouge and one for a movie I did not see, Salmon Fishing in the Yemen. Do you see that?
No.
You didn't see it either? Neither of us saw it. Maybe, like Eric Bana.
Why are you not seeing Velvet Goldmine, where he
Velvet
was fantastic?
Velvet Goldmine. He was great because the list is too long. Biblical mind. He, like Eric Bana, perhaps, he shot out of the gate too fast at Train Spotting to American audiences, became a little too familiar, and the next thing you know, he's fucking Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's not fucking him, but he's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That's how it sounded when he said it.
Otherwise, strangely ignored by the Academy. He's had a great career, continues to have a great
career. You feel like he'll get
He only gets better with the Philip Morris thing. It was one of the best roles he's ever had.
He was so background, though. Jim Carrey really, really fucked him. Literally. But I mean, he was so meek, and that was his character, and he was so background. He wasn't about him. It was about Jim Carrey. So he was that overshadowed there. But you feel like he's going to get his due.
He better, because he's great, and I love
maybe the most recognizable name working in Hollywood today that has not been nominated.
Yeah, who's number one on our American list? I'm asking now, like we should know off the top of our heads, but I can't remember.
What do you mean?
Our list the last time we did this American actor who'd never been nominated.
Oh, that's never been. I think it was Tom Hanks.
That sounds about right.
That wouldn't make sense because he's been nominated about 90 times.
That's right. This is one.
He's only made 80 movies, but nominated 90.
That's how great he is. Yeah. All right, go ahead. Number one for you.
My number one. I feel like just short 3 years from now, Brian, people are going to be like, what? There was a time when Michael Fassbender wasn't nominated for a
good call.
Academy Award?
Good call.
Are you joking? Now, I understand, and I feel awful, and I feel goddamn white that my number one and number two are maybe the whitest actors working in Hollywood today. Tom Hardy and Michael Fassbender.
They're up there.
But, yeah, I got this name. I don't need it. Thank you very much, Stephen Hawkins. I can say Michael Fassbender.
It's Watch Michelle up. Fassbender.
I will kill you.
Logan saw the joke.
Michael Fassbender, Mikael, actually, he was born in Heidelberg, Germany, 1977, Brian. 1977. Now, this is a Steve McQueen actor. This is Steve McQueen's actor. I say that because he has been in all of Steve McQueen's movies. Steve McQueen being that director that I can't fucking wait for his movie coming out.
You're all about it.
Oh, I cannot wait for, hold on, I'm 12 Years a Slave. 12 Years a Slave. He was also in Steve McQueen's movie The Hunger, which I can't really recommend the movie because it's such a downer and it's so hard to watch, but goddamn is it powerful. It's like nothing you'd ever seen before. The Hunger, as well as Shame. Not The Hunger, I'm sorry, it's just Hunger, as well as Shame, also a Steve McQueen movie. Right. Steve McQueen I know we're talking about actors right now, but I like to talk about directors much more.
Should I see Shame?
No, you would not enjoy it. It's not an enjoyable movie.
Okay, well,
it's very hard to watch.
If it's a great movie, I'll see it.
It's Shame is Requiem for a Dream for sex rather than drugs without the style, but it's as hard hitting, almost as hard hitting.
He's in A Dangerous Method too, right?
Yes.
Is that a great movie?
Let me go through the list of Fassbender movies.
Hold on, let me see. X-Men Origins, First Class.
X-Men
First Class.
Holy shit, there's a lot. Okay.
Prometheus.
300 is where we first saw him.
He's 300?
Yep. He played Stelios. Right. Stelios.
No idea what that is.
Neither do I. Hunger. Eden Lake, which I just flicked fast not too long ago here, and it is a very, very gut-wrenching, visceral, in-your-face, won't-forget-about-anytime-soon movie. Eden Lake. If you like good horror, like really well-done thriller, Eden Lake. He was in Fish Tank, which I flicked fast here a couple years ago. Inglourious Basterds, he played Lieutenant Archie Hickox.
Yep.
Hickox. Jane Eyre. Which, here's a random fact, Brian. Bring this to the table just because I feel like this was a bit of a weak episode. But Cary Fukunaga?
Yep.
Which is it, Logie? You're Asian. He's Asian, so I'm going to go with Cary Fukunaga.
Okay.
He's the guy that directed Sin Nombre.
Oh, yeah.
We love Sin Nombre. He went on to make Jane Eyre. I'll never know. I never will know.
I just told you.
I know, but my brain really works. I'll never know. Isn't that sad?
Sad.
I'll never know. I honestly, I don't know of right now. It's Jane Eyre?
Jane Eyre Supply.
God damn it. I've been... Okay. Then maybe I'll know now.
Yeah.
His next movie, Cary Fukunaga, who we love, love, love from Sinobre. He started off as a cinematographer. His next movie is It. Announced, he's making Stephen King's It.
Really?
Could be interesting.
I think a lot of those old Stephen King movies that got turned into bad movies should be remade.
High time.
Cujo is on my list of top five should be remade movies.
Of course, we're here we go talking about a little Fassbender. No relation to the director, by the way. Haywire, Prometheus.
That's right, it wasn't Haywire. I just watched Prometheus again, and maybe the expectations are too high. It's an okay movie. He was the best part. He was one of the best
parts. He's going to be in Prometheus 2, so you have that to look forward to. It's just him and Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
That's right.
Is that her? She...
Yeah, they're the ones.
They're the only two that are nominated. I mean, that are announced so far. Here are some upcoming projects, and here is why I think he's definitely going to get nominated, because he's working with really, really strong directors. We got him, as I already said, Steve McQueen, 12 Years a Slave, which is completed. That's coming out later this year. I think that's going to be a big one. I think it's going to be a big award season movie. I cannot wait for 12 Years a Slave. Frank, he plays Frank. It looks like a quirky comedy. Fun.
Michael Fassbender as Frank and Frank.
Yes. Terrence Malick. You know, Terrence Malick project.
A new Terry Malick
movie. God damn it. I saw a trailer for that new Terrence Malick movie with Ben Affleck. Brian, I'm going to be 100% open and honest with you right here.
No desire?
God, I was angry. I get the first, like, probably the first 48 frames, first 2 seconds. I'm like, fucking Terrence Malick. Here we go. That Ben Affleck one. Here we go. God damn it, dude. You have the exact same. Like, did you program a computer to make sure that the camera does the exact same movements?
What if there was a computer program that just had Terrence Malick program?
Enter.
Yep, just run
Terrence Malick. Control Terrence Malick. Control TM. By the end of the trailer. Tears.
No.
I swear to God, I don't know what fuck happened. I don't know what happened, but I was crying by the end of the trailer. I don't know why.
You were slicing an onion.
I was sitting in the theater and a tear ran down my cheek. I'm like, what the fuck? When something hit me.
You might have you might have a tear duct infection.
No, you know what it was? It was hitting all the things that my wife and I love.
Really?
All the things that couple are experiencing in that movie, like the carnivals and like all this. There's a bunch of stuff, like buffalo. And
sure.
Like, there's something.
All the typical things that become
carnivals and buffalo. Okay, and then.
Carnivals and buffalo.
Back to Fassbender, just to finish this thing off. He's going to be in a movie called The Counselor, starring in a movie called The Counselor by Ridley Scott. And I guess that's it. Yeah. Right.
It's a good choice.
Prometheus.
A couple of good choices there, Anderson.
Prometheus 2. All right. So, yes, some interesting stuff coming up.
Yeah.
Some good actors that should get Oscars one day.
Listener top five. Let's hear what the listeners had to say.
All right. Participate by going to Facebook.com/TheFilmVault or Twitter @TheFilmVault. Number five, Ewan McGregor.
Yeah. Hmm.
Number four,
Gael Garcia Bernal.
Hell yes. What about his buddy?
Number three,
Vincent Cassel.
Yeah.
Vincent Cassel.
Number two, Jean Reno. Reno.
Oh my God! How the fuck did I forget him?
How did you forget him?
The professional. What's wrong with me? You know, because he's kind of gone underground. I haven't seen a whole lot of him lately. Plus, you know what? He's not really like an actor's actor. He's kind of like a character actor.
He's great.
Yeah,
I
still
like
good choice.
I like
choice.
I like Gene Reno.
But can you imagine him being up for an Academy?
Yes.
All right. Okay. All right.
Gene Reno.
And the number one foreign actor never nominated for an Oscar,
Gerard Depardieu, please,
as voted on by our listeners, is Alan Rickman.
Yeah. Smart. Yeah. Good.
Good choices.
Who do you think of all those people that all those names we just heard? We probably what is that? Like probably 13 with the listeners as well.
Fassbender.
You think Fassbender's the
most
first one
to win,
to get an Academy Award nomination?
Yeah. I was actually really surprised. I had to rack my brain. I'm like, yeah, you're right. He has been nominated for an Oscar.
He's the guy, I think, right?
Yeah, he's recognized. I think as a really good actor. Ones that just missed my list: Alan Cumming. I almost put on the list. Cillian Murphy, Robert Carlyle from Trainspotting.
Cillian Murphy, good call, man.
Yeah, Robert Carlyle. That's mostly it. Antonio Banderas, I could see pulling it off, and I'm surprised he hasn't been nominated for Philadelphia or something along those lines. But and Guy Pearce from Memento and LA Confidential.
And then, I love my Peter Stormare.
He's great.
I've had him up a few times.
Where's he from?
Sweden. He's from Sweden. Malcolm McDowell, old, but never nominated. Malcolm McDowell, little Alex from A Clockwork Orange. Monica Bellucci.
Yeah. Luch.
She took a horrible ass ramming and Irreversible. Was not even nominated.
How'd you know if that was horrible?
Daniel Brühl. He's from Inglourious Basterds as well as Joy Nouvelle, which I love that movie. Franca Portente. She could be up one day. Stephen Ray. but he was nominated for The Crying Game.
Oh, he was.
And Toby Kebbell, who I love.
Why would you mention it?
I love Toby Kebbell, who plays Rock and Rolla in Rock and Rolla. Toby Kebbell.
Yeah.
For all of you who tweeted me, let me know about how everything in Room 237 is bullshit. Hey, I admitted that I love the movie despite the fact that I said I think two-thirds of what they said was shit and bullshit. It's really, it's fairly very smart people grasping and reaching at a very, very smart man's movie because he's dead and he can't make anything more, and that's all they have is the movies that he has.
Sure.
And you have to make leaps, and it's...
I still want to see it.
It's so good. I'll watch it a fourth time. Maybe you and I can go see it in the theaters.
Yeah, is it playing in the theater by my house?
I don't think it is yet, but hopefully it sticks around a little bit because it's just, it's so much fun. But yeah, I know that it's all bullshit. And in fact, I guess like his old assistant came out in public and gave an interview and said, you know what, I saw that movie, and you know what, it's 80 to 90% shit.
Wow.
10 to 20% of it is definitely spot on, I think. And I'll give you an example, okay?
But at least it's well thought out, though.
It's well thought out, and it's people really making interesting reaches, even though it's bullshit.
Yeah, I don't mind people, like, sorry to jump on your point, but I don't mind people making leaps of logic or even, like, you know, expanding on their own crazy theories if they're well thought out, and then they're like, hey, this is just a theory. This is just, you know, what I think.
I hate to say it, but a lady had the biggest reaches. There's five of them, and there's one of them's a lady.
Lady!
And she reaches. Okay. She's definitely stretching. Right. But
some broad.
I can't remember what I was saying.
Oh.
Yeah, it was good, too. Damn it.
Shit, I'm sorry about
that. Yeah, it's all right.
Don't think of it again.
Very enjoyable.
About the reaches and
20%, 80%.
You said 10 to 20% is.
You were going to give an example of something truthful, but you did that last week, so I don't
know
if you need to. Yeah, you did the red VW bug.
All right, then I won't do the other one. Okay, yeah, I don't want to get too much away.
That's a good point.
Check it out. If you
a lot of mysteries to be unfurled.
Even if you're not like a giant Kubrick file, it's a very fun movie if you love movies.
Let's put this baby to bed by gambling.
Oh fuck!
Last week,
I think you're pretty much going to win this week.
Really?
I guess pretty low score.
Last week, you gambled on 42. At the time, the Rotten Tomatoes score is 53%. Anderson bid 67 and Brian 42. Oh, yeah. So putting it right in the middle between you two. Currently, the Wednesday after release, the Rotten Tomatoes score is 76%. Oof. It has gone up, making Anderson the winner.
Remember we talked about how there was potentially a guilt factor involved, a political factor involved? I think that's front and center. So... 42, not worth the 70-fucking-something-6% it's getting. It's not a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's terrible. All right, you win. What am I going to see?
Julian Donkey Boy.
Julian Donkey Boy?
Yeah.
What is it?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
I'm not that mean.
Okay.
Maybe go see the Sapphires. You know what? I'm going to be a nice kid. It's playing by your house. Playing your favorite theater.
And you loved
it. I checked it out earlier today.
You liked it a lot.
Yeah, the Sapphires. You're going to like it. It's your kind of movie. Take the wife.
Okay, can do.
Take the wife. Get to take the wife.
Can do.
Take the wife, come back here, and let us know what you think.
Can do. Sapphires, I already gambled on this week.
I want to know if I'm being soft on it, just because...
Did it catch you at a weak moment?
Maybe. Oh. Perhaps. No, I don't think so. I mean, good characters.
Right.
Strong characters. Not have I seen an Australian movie that I enjoyed so much since The Dish, Brian.
Yeah. Since the dish. I have not seen.
Not this week, bitch.
Okay.
You can go see the Sapphires.
I will see the Sapphires. Logan?
All right, this week you're going to be gambling on the Tom Cruise epic Oblivion.
That's right. Big release, big summer release.
Shot by the guy that shot Life of Pi.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was it?
I can't remember his name. No. I don't remember his name. He's got a long ponytail, though.
Didn't it win?
Yeah, he did.
Cinematography this year?
He won cinematography.
Cool.
He was...
It looks good. I mean, when I say looks, I mean, like, the look of the film is good looking.
Yeah.
I say it looks good.
Directed by the same guy that did, why am I giving you all this information?
Who's directed by?
Don't worry about it.
Can you tell me, please?
No.
I should have the information that you have.
No, it's not my fault.
Let me look it up real quick.
Stop. Turn your phone off.
Let me look it up real quick.
All right. Here we go.
Who is it directed by?
It's the guy that did Tron Legacy.
You lie.
Tony K.
Tony K.
Well, that's his name. It's Tony something. Kowalski. He's Polish. He's
Humpty
Polish.
Boy. Christoph Kieslowski?
Mm-hmm. You know what? Oblivion. I'm going Yager.
Yar? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let me adjust my score real quick.
Do you know Yag?
I do.
Do you?
I do.
What number?
68.
God damn it. How'd you know that?
I know. But I didn't change my number. I went to my original number. 75%.
Ooh.
75. So there's not a narrow...
7 points.
I know. Shit, so it has to be over 71 for me to win. Mm-hmm. Shit.
currently the Wednesday before release with 69 reviews. The Oblivion's Rotten Tomatoes score.
That's the dumbest thing that's ever happened on this show.
Good stuff. So easily amused.
Oblivion's Rotten Tomatoes score is 64%.
Oh, what did I get? 68. Oh, feels good. Feels real good.
Yeah. Buddy worked on this.
I need to be 71 or over.
Make it ineligible?
I need to be 71 or over.
They shot it in Iceland.
Iceland. Icelandic?
Iceland. And
over 71.
Yeah, in fact, fun fact, the scene, I think it's in the trailer too, where he's pretending like it's a giant stadium, like he's reliving the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they, you can see like the goalpost. Yep. Is all like, that's actually a crater in Iceland.
Wow.
And they actually went and they found a crater that looked like it was the size of a bowl that could be used as a football stadium. Did a little CGI here and there. And,
wow.
Bang.
How about that?
Looks like an old rundown stadium.
Oh, Sapphire.
You're going to enjoy the Sapphire.
I'm looking forward to it.
That's to make up for having you watch a movie that I knew you wouldn't like in your little brain.
I appreciate that.
With Gummo.
I appreciate that. Yes. AndersonandBrian.com, everybody. AndersonandBrian.com is where you go for a lot of things. Number one, the Amazon banner, which we appreciate you guys clicking through. We appreciate it. Keep up the great work. Comment on all our episodes, especially if your name's Chet. We had a list of all the films we've discussed. Oh, boy. A list of all the films we discussed every week, including this one. Feature artist information for guys like Tyler Scruggs. TylerScruggs.bandcamp.com. AndersonandBrian.com, right there under featured artists. And what else can I say? Oh, yeah, a few things to plug. Number one, thank you to Dangly Life for the artwork this week. Send all your artwork, whether it's Photoshopped or drawings or paintings, whatever, claymations, to AndersonandBrian.com.
Let's try and lay off me raping my dog, though. How about that? Plenty of ways to illustrate us without me actually doing harm to my dog.
Agreed. And also, well, there's a link there to Miss Movies is having a little fundraiser, a trikeathon for her child's preschool trikeathon. They're going to trike for thon. I don't know what it's for.
They're going to trike for thons?
They're going to raise money for their preschool. And
they're triking about like on...
What's that?
Wait, like on tricycles?
That's right. Tricycles.
She can't come in here next week.
Three-wheeled bikes.
The three-wheeled bikes, like adults on trikes. Like, oh, isn't this funny?
Crazy? No, I think the children are going to do it.
Your wayfarers are falling off.
It's not like a bear riding a tricycle. This is going to be like children on a tricycle.
Oh, okay.
If you want to go, there's a link.
like a hairy man with
beard. No, I meant like a bear with a hat at a circus. There's a link on today's episode's page for Miss Movie's Trikeathon. Check it out, AndersonandBrian.com. Really? Mm-hmm. If you want to donate a couple bucks to a worthy cause. And, of course, Save It For Air podcast is back.
Wow.
I listened today. Can I tell you that?
What's the verdict?
Not impressed. You know what? Maybe it's not for me. Maybe I'm not the audience.
You're such a dick. You really are a horrible person.
Now, Logan, you have dashes here between S-I-F-A. But
that's
no
just
dashes.
So you'll say S-I-F-A.
Okay, I'm not a moron. S-I-F-S-I-dash. No, no dashes. S-I-F-A-podcast.com.
Do you call it SIFA?
No, we call it Save It For Air, but we lost our domain name. Mm-hmm. So
that's what you get for
SIFA podcast.
Telling them Michelle. We'll not call another man Michelle. God damn it.
I would plug
that. That's a goddamn
after,
woman.
But it's better when no one listens, so I'm not going to plug it.
Did you hear last week's episode where I talked shit?
I had to text Carano.
Did
Carano.
You?
Oh, yeah.
You text Carano.
Very upset at you.
What did you say?
Very upset. Said Anderson's full of shit, first of all.
No, you absolutely said everything that I said on the After Disaster.
We'll talk about it off the air.
Check into the After Disaster so you can hear me talking
for
true
lies,
things about Brian.
Lies.
No, it was absolutely true. I got Logan to back me up.
You were both half listening. Put you together, one person was listening.
No, that's the full person.
All right, that's all for today.
We're doing it for Mando!
It's Uncle Sam.